Hey, so today I'm going to continue. We talked about 2 weeks ago. I talked to you about how everyone is called to be an intercessor. And if you missed that, you want to go on the podcast, which is now available on Amazon Podcasts. That's new this week. Amazon lifted us on their podcast. Or iTunes, or Google Podcasts, or Podbean, or Deezer, and a bunch of other places. You can find it. We're going to get you a card that shows you where how to find it everywhere eventually. Go back and revisit that sermon, because it's not your typical, we need to pray more. When I was a youth pastor, there was one kid, no matter what question I asked, he would raise his hand and he would say, hey, I think we need to pray more. And that really is always the right answer. Like, what do you think this verse means? I think we need to pray more. And so it was. He did it to be kind of bratty, but it's true. We can always pray more, but it's not so much engaging in that place of working, but kind of just fitting into our role as believers and being a people that pray. So if you want to go back 2 weeks ago, give that a listen. I think you'll find that to be informative. Today I'm going to be starting out in Luke 22 and Acts chapter 12. If you want to open two tabs on your phone, we're going to hit them in a little bit. And so we're kind of continuing in that vein, but we're taking it to the next level. One of our core values here is community. That's always been one of our core values. You know, community is important to us. And the reason why is we're stronger together. We're better together. We're healthier together. Do you guys know, I'm not knocking on anybody that isn't married, but my wife will tell me things that other people won't tell me. She'll tell me when there's green stuff in my tea. She'll tell me all the stuff. My kids, too.
I would tell you that.
Yeah, well, thank you. But family does that for people, and community does that, too. There's feedback that other people aren't going to give you that's going to help you be healthier. And then the other thing is we can only experience all God has for us if we're connected to parts of the body. People can go out and they can have awesome worship in their living room. They can read the Bible, but there is an aspect of God that's only found in being connected with other believers. I'm not going to teach on this today. I have a whole book in my book pile that I want to read about this, but the concept is this. We should plant our lives in three soils. Planted is intentional, not by accident. We're not dandelion seeds that blow around and grow wherever. We want to be planted somewhere intentionally, and because I want to see you guys healthy, mature, and thriving. I want my life to be healthy, mature, and thriving. But healthy, mature, and thriving believers are planted in three soils: the soil of God's word, the soil of God's presence, and the soil of God's family. It's about connection. The Bible talks about us being built up as living stones into a spiritual house. God wants us to be connected. When you build something out of stone, those stones sit on top of each other. They're next to each other. You can't just say, I put this stone here and I build something all by itself. This stone isn't my building that I built. No, you put a stone somewhere. So you get what I'm saying. The Bible talks about us being built up as living stones into a spiritual house. God wants you connected. And now I'm going to tell you a story that's not related because I want to tell it. I had an inspection today, and the guy, or not today, Friday, a supervisor came with me and watched me all day. And I said to him, hey, there's this trailhead on this route. What do you say on our break? We go down the trailhead, and we see what's up, right? Because I never went down it. And, you know, you always hike with a buddy, right? It's good thing. So we take this hike. We get down to this beautiful creek area. I have, like, this new lunch spot. I'm so excited. And he starts stacking up rocks. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I need these at my house. And I'm like, dude, we can't. And he's like, yeah, we can. We're going to take them. So I carried all these boulders out of this woods for this guy, and he gave me a good review. So whatever. That's just between us. I'll edit that out of the podcast. Anyway, but the thing is, he didn't just take one rock, because he can't build anything with one rock. Connected. So two weeks ago, we talked about intercession. The things that I need you guys, if you haven't heard it, just to accept right now, is prayer is not the only thing we do. Prayer is the first thing you do. And that the first thing you do matters because everything else comes after it is built on the first thing. Right? Just accept that. You can go back and listen to what that verse says. But intercession is a vital part of a strong community. Intercession means, and this is a review from last week, the act of intervening on behalf of another, Scripture paints the picture of two kinds of intercession. One is building a wall to protect somebody else, and the other one is the concept of like a secretary or an assistant that would set up a meeting. So when we pray for people, sometimes we see they're in danger or that we have an understanding through the Spirit or whatever that something's going on, and we'll build a wall. We'll pray for protection. We'll pray against sickness. We'll pray for provision. These are kind of like building walls of safety around people. And then there's other times where we're like, hey, we need to set up a meeting between this and God. So sometimes you just need to be like, your finances need to meet God. Or crazy person that works next to me whose life is falling apart, you need an appointment, a meeting with God. So when I'm praying for you, ultimately, the first thing I do, not the only thing I do, is I'm trying to set up a meeting between you and God. I'm willing to be part of that, but it starts in the prayer. And we also made this statement last 2 weeks ago. John 10:10, this is on the back of your bulletin if you have one. The thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus said this, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. And what we said is there's two plans on the earth. The basic, most basic description of what a believer is, a follower of Jesus, is someone who's called to resist the one plan and partner with the other. The thief has a plan. Jesus has a plan. We build walls and we resist the thief's plan. And we partner with God and set up appointments to partner with his plan. And if something is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, our role as an intercessor is to pray and build a wall. If someone's life or an area of their life isn't abundant, then our role as an intercessor is to set up a meeting, an encounter with Jesus. Remember, that's our thing in this season. We want to be a place where people don't just encounter our program, our community, our coffee, which is good. We want to be a place where people encounter our Jesus or Jesus, you know? And so when we say that intercession is a vital part of a strong community, we should understand that our community, Christianity, is our community. Our community is a community of priests. Now I know, stop thinking backwards collars and confessionals and stuff like that. We are priests. 1 Peter 2:9, we're not going to read it, calls us a royal priesthood. We're all priests. All believers are priests. Priests have two roles, so let's just boil that down. Two roles that priests have. Go to God on behalf of man, and go to man on behalf of God. That's our role as priests. We go to God on behalf of man. We did it during worship today. I pray for some political officials that I don't agree with, but I want them to know God. You know, that's what we did. And so we went to God on behalf of man. And we also go to man on behalf of God. I'd have no problem talking to them and letting them know what God thinks about what they're doing. You know, in love with a hammer. But in love. You know. All right. So that plays out in community. Your role as a priest needs to play out in community. Going to God on behalf of man and going to man on behalf of God. As an intercessor in community, we should all be as priests, going to God on behalf of the others that are part of our community. James, in the book of James, isn't it nice they named him so easy? So who said this stuff in James? James. James, in the book of James, said, he instructs us to pray for one another. Peter experienced the power of a community that prayed on his behalf. I'm going to read you two scriptures. The first one in Luke 22, verse 31. The first time we see this in the scripture, Peter was prayed for by Jesus. It's a good deal. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. In all honesty, this is one of those verses I used to read really fast. That's cool. Move on to something I might understand. But look at this. Look at this verse. Two plans. There's two plans in the verse. Satan has a plan that he might sift them like wheat. Jesus has a plan. He prayed that his faith would not fail and that he would return to him And then after that, he'd strengthen his brethren. Look at the two plans. Identifying the plan of the enemy, building the wall, and then partnering with what God wants to do, setting up the appointment. The second example of when Peter received prayer is in Acts 12. I'm going to start in verse 12. I'm going to read for a little bit. Now at that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw that pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers, intending to bring him out before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So if we continue reading, we'll see that angels came and delivered him from prison. We're not going to do that today, but what I want to show you here is this. Do you think Peter was part of a praying, or grateful to be part of a praying community?
Yes.
Look, there was two plans. There was be executed because it makes people happy. Mm-hmm. And there was be released and go strengthen your brethren. So when there's just one plan, we partner with another. Community is about covering and strengthening others through our prayers. Now, this is where I'm reminding you guys of things you already know. But sometimes when you say them, it's good to say them. One of those things is community requires responsibility. Parents get this. Family gets this. Everybody that's had a baby can think back to how much babies can't take care of themselves. And often that responsibility comes at a really inconvenient time. Community comes with the understanding that I have a responsibility to people other than myself. And as an intercessor, I have the responsibility to pray for them. I can't live my life as if I'm not responsible for the people around me. Good example, I have an older brother and mother. And I can't tell you how many times I was doing something else and my younger brother would shoot his mouth off to somebody bigger than him. But I had a responsibility. And so did my older brother, thankfully. And so you just have to think about it. I can't just say, hey, little brother, I'm playing in the sandbox. I'll get with you later. Because I have a responsibility. If I came home and my parents forced that responsibility, if he came home with a black eye, that when he was out with me, that would have been on me. There was a time when he had just turned 16. This is a good story. I hope he hears me tell this. And, you know, we were... My dad's kind of a car guy, tinkers with cars, so we all have, I don't want to call them wrecks, we all had cars that maybe would stop working at any given time, and there was a kind of a expectation that that would be good for us to learn how to fix that, and that was totally fine. So I'm just grateful to have a car, got me where I was going most of the time, and I learned how to do a lot of things through that process. So there was a time where I was on my way home, I got about 5 miles from home, so... For those of you that know this, I'll give you a good picture. I didn't know Jamie Allenbach at the time, but I was basically in front of his house. And for those of you that know where my parents live, it's not far. You don't want to walk that, right? You know? And so I call the house phone. This is how long ago this was. My brother answers, and I was like, yeah, you got to come pick me up. And I'm like, hey, and bring the toolbox from the garage. And he's like, no, I'm going out with my friends. And I'm like, no, you're coming to pick me up. He's like, no, I can't be late. I'm like, you're going to be late. You're coming to pick me up. And so it ended with me like making him know that I would enforce the fact that he had a responsibility not to leave me out there. So anyway, that's the only thing you're going to remember about this sermon. But anyway, the society around us, just hypothesis, think about this, could be individualistic. When you watch things on the news right now, I don't think people throwing bricks through people's shop windows are thinking about the people that actually own the shop. They're individualistic. They're wanting their way. They're not considering the other people. And that's, you know, there's a lot of pressure from the world around us. Just be an individual. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. It's totally fine. And that's not community, and that's not the way that God works. We are, the leader team is going to read a book this year. We've talked about this already. It's called Dare to Lead: Brave Work, Tough Conversations, and Whole Hearts. And the crux of the book, I'll give you the secret for those of you that are on the team, is considering where the other person's coming from. So that when there's conflict or friction or feedback that's hard to give, you're actually considering how the person is coming to that conversation. And that's really, as community, and we're being responsible for other people, that's one of the biggest things. We want to think about where people are at and where they're coming from. Now, not feeling responsible for others starts very early in Scripture. In Genesis, after killing his brother Abel, God asked Cain where Abel is, and Cain says,
"Am I my brother's keeper?"
And the answer to that question is yes. If your brother's car breaks down next to the house and you're the only one home, go get them. Don't bring home your little brother with a black eye from some other kid. Right? People with all the people with siblings are like, yep. Alright, you are actually responsible for the people God has put you in community and family with. We're called to pray for one another, and we have a responsibility to people around us. So I'm going to show you a bunch of scriptures. You don't have to follow along. If you want to write them down and look them up later. But this is a bunch of scriptures that show that Paul wanted to be clear that the people he was in relationship with, he was in community with, that he wanted to make sure that they knew he was praying for them. So in Romans 1:9, it says he's writing to the Romans. Isn't it great how they name these books? He's writing to the Romans. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Ephesians, he's writing to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Philippians, he's writing to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3. Verse 3 and 4, "I thank God upon my every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy." Colossians 1:3, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." 1 Thessalonians 1:2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Do you see this pattern? There's a bunch of obvious prayer assignments. Family, you pray for your mom, your dad, your brothers, sisters, kids, spouse. Friends that are close to you, you pray for them. But what about enemies? You know, what if someone, you're at work and they're just making your life not so great? It's not unpleasant. What if someone, you're at church and they're just making your life not so great? It's unpleasant. You know, Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." The Message translation says, "When someone gives you a hard time, respond by smacking them." Not that we say that. It says, "When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer." So for some of us, we're in these situations like maybe our neighbor's challenging. That's a prayer assignment. You know, maybe there's somebody here that, you know, if I rub you the wrong way, please pray for me. I would love that. You know? God, who are the people? Just ask God. God, who are the people you've assigned me to pray for? Number two, be intentional about prayer. When we used to be youth pastors, we used to tell people, if you don't set up time to spend with God the night before for the next day, you just won't do it. And it's true. If you don't make a time where you're going to pray, where you're going to read the Word, where you're just going to hang out with God, I call it my creative time with Jesus. Sometimes I'm getting strategy to with my family finances. But it's time I set aside. I'm inviting Jesus to have my finances to have an encounter with Jesus. I'm praying. I'm reading a book. Whatever I'm doing in that creative time with Jesus, giving him an in there. But be intentional about prayer. Find a daily time. Write down the names of your prayer assignments on a list. Find a routine. Number three, be spontaneous about prayer. You're scrolling through Instagram, and you see somebody, pray for them. You're laying in bed at night, you can't sleep, but you can't stop thinking about who's not here. Blaine, pray for him. You know, be spontaneous. When someone comes to mind, Paul says that he thanks God on every remembrance. It means when he thought of somebody, he prayed for them. When someone comes to mind, pray for them. And number four, practical step of being an intercessor in community is let people know you are praying for them. I've got a couple of, one of them's with the Lord, so I don't know if you can still call that praying for you. There's a couple of older ladies that went to my church when I was a kid, every day they prayed for me. Even one of them I bumped into, I hadn't seen her in 23 years. Every day she prays for me.
Mm.
If you don't think that's affecting my life, for us, maybe we're that for somebody. You know, she was a friend of my mom when I was like 9. She started praying for me and never stopped. So that's that. All right, so let people know you're praying for them. So I'm going to go over those again real quick. Four practical steps to being a intercessor in community. Ask God who he has called you to pray for. Be intentional about prayer. My notes say international. Do that too. Be spontaneous about prayer. And let people know you're praying for them. Last thing, many times we don't know what to pray for someone. But we're definitely a prophetic culture. God can show you what to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Ask God what he wants to do in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and make a list. Ask God what to pray. Get God's plan for someone. Sometimes, now listen, there's been some confusion in church. Not with us, but maybe some other prayers. Sometimes God will reveal to you the enemy's plan for someone. And I think when that happens, you know, as an intercessor, you're called to build a wall. But I think sometimes we think somehow we discern in the spirit what's happening with them. And then instead we build a wall between them and us. Like, they're messed up. Something's going on with them. But in reality, we've seen, you know, what the enemy wants to do so we can stand against it. You know, there is a gift of discernment, but it's not very often that the Lord will show you somebody else's dirty laundry. What you're seeing is where the enemy would take them if they weren't following the Lord. You know? So anyway, sometimes God will reveal the enemy's plan for you to someone. If you're praying for someone and something seems negative, ask God to show you how to build a wall. The other thing you can do is pray scripture. If you guys have the song lyrics on the back, I listed all these scriptures for you. Take that with you. Pick somebody out. Pray some scripture over them. I'm only going to read you one of them, but in scripture, these are called the apostolic prayers. These are prayers from Paul over people, churches mostly, but individuals as well. Ephesians 1, 16 to 19. Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. Isn't that handy? Colossians 1, 9 to 11. It's 9-1-1. Also handy. And Philippians 1, 8 to 11. 8-1-1. Is 8-1-1 something? Is that like where underground wires are buried? You call
811. I don't know.
I think it is. Yeah, you can call and ask if there's wires in your copy before you dig. So I love this that, you know, because these numbers were added by monks or whatever in the 15th century.
Yeah, it is that.
It's pretty cool that it works out that way. So I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 16 to 19. It says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul's saying this, and he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory and his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So what I'm going to do real quick, I'm just going to pray that over my son, one of my sons, brother of Levi. So you guys can see, I know most of you could figure this out on your own, but it says, so Father, I just pray for Levi right now. I pray that the Father of glory may give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that he would increase in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened, that he would have revelation of the scripture, that he would have songs that break forth, that he would have correct perspective in his mind, that he would see things the way that God sees them, that he would know the hope of his calling, that he would know the hope of what you called him to do, that you would begin to unveil that to Levi, Lord, that you would release your desires in his heart and they would become his desires, and that he would know that true riches of glory are his inheritance in the saints, that he has an inheritance among the believers that have gone before him, and that's the true riches, that he wouldn't be tempted to chase the world's riches, but he would see the glory of the inheritance of the people that have gone before him, and that he would know the exceeding greatness of your power because he believes according to the working of your power. So we pray, Lord, that he would be a little man that walks in your power, that the stories about him would be mighty. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you don't know how to pray for someone, you look up one of those, and you start praying, and you go with it. So as intercessors, we want to be a people that pray for one another. And we said this, I'm reviewing. Intercession is a vital part of any community. A lot of times, well, every time, this is how people move on from the body. They feel disconnected. Then they miss a whole bunch of weeks of church and feel more disconnected. And then they go out looking for somewhere else. I want to tell you, if you didn't see any of us all week, but you prayed for every one of us, you would feel connected. Mm. If you shot a text that said, hey, Dave, I'm going to pray for you this week. Or, hey, Dave, is there anything I can pray specifically for you this week? There's connection. You know, people tend to take themselves out when if they lean in, they won't be taken out. So just encouraging you guys. So be practical. Find a time. Write down who God has you pray for. Make it a routine, but be spontaneous about it as well. Asking the Holy Spirit how to lead you, how you can partner with him. Ask him if there's a plan of the enemy that you can build a wall against for someone. And then pray apostolic prayers over people. Send a text or an email that you're praying for them. And ask them to pray for you. Totally cool. So we are people that prays for nations. But we also want to be a community that prays for each other. I'm going to pray. So Father, teach us how to pray for one another. We want that to be the cry of our heart. We ask for your spirit to quicken in us. To be a people that prays for one another, that you would remind us of each other, that we would not disconnect from your body as we go forth from this place, but we would feel more connected than ever. We ask, Lord, for your spirit to guide us. We ask that you would unfold your secrets before us, that we could partner with your will over each other, and that we could stand with each other against the attack of the enemy. And we thank you, Lord, that you're moving us forward, that you've never left our side, and that you're building a church with us here in this town. Lord, we just pray for insight to meet the community's needs. We also pray that you would begin to prepare the community for us to launch out, that they would be ready and receptive for the things that we offer, and that ultimately they would come and have an encounter with you. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, have a good week.